Right, the first item on the agenda is public health, and it's to consider the progress with actions following the LGA peer review, paper B. Sally, is there anything you want to tell us that's not already on paper?
So I'm not sure quite how you want me to do this, but I mean you've got in front of you the action plan with an update to the end of December 2018. I suppose I'll just say a couple of things. This action plan was developed by the previous director of public health and public health team before I was in the post, and we asked for us to bring an update of the plan as it stood. I think since I've been in the interim role, I think there are things that have changed a bit, and I think we've been working in sort of two phases. The first phase has been to work on the commission services and the budget, as members will know, and then moving on to a more developmental phase afterwards, which is why I think you can see that a lot of the commissioning tasks have been met. And some of the wider development issues still need to be addressed, particularly areas which are not sole responsibility of the public health team, for example, working across the wider system, working across the council. And some of the, I think, the issues across the wider system have been challenging because, as people in the room can appreciate, there have been changes in leadership and in strategic approaches. And so that will have an impact on the ability of the public health teams to engage in those things. So I'm very happy to answer questions.
Claire, is there anything you want to add to that?
Thank you. One of the reasons that we actually asked for to look at the results of the peer review of where we were now was at the last scrutiny, there was questions of, you know, how have we got to the point that we were at with having an interim and stuff like that, and so, well, why don't we look, there was a peer review, let's look at what was questionable in the peer review and where we've got to now. It is going to be an ongoing process. I wouldn't expect everything from the peer review to be completely met already in such a short space of time, but I did want it to come to this committee so that we could see that work is being carried out and that on those actions that were recommended in that peer review. There is no point in having a peer review and then not following up with recommendations, so I just want to show that that's what we were doing.
Right. Any questions for members? Michael.
I mean, thank you for this, but I'm a bit confused, right? Because from this, I can't really get exactly what actually public health does. I think one of the things is that item 30, identify all relevant plans, and clear milestones and outcomes. Is it possible to have a definitive list of the actual services that you have to statutorily provide to deliver? The clear sort of outcome. I know some of them like sexual health and so on. But actually, as a lay councillor, I haven't got a clue what public health is doing. I know bits and bobs. And actually getting definition of those outcomes. And along with that, I'll come back to further questions in a minute, but along with that, exactly what offer are we getting from Hampshire? What's Hampshire going to do differently from the previous management of public health? Right. And are we, you know, how is that going to pan out? Thank you.
Claire.
So, one, that's two separate questions. Firstly, rather disappointed in this council, it's been on record by me before, that I asked for the LGA was giving free training to all members to come and find out what public health does. But it, you know, I've always said that it's the golden thread that runs through everything. It was free training was offered. We had very few counsellors to come up without training. It was really disappointed I offered to run that training again, and we had the same counsellors who said that they would turn up. If there is a genuine, serious in wanting to learn and have that training, then I will see if we can get public health to our CRGF to run it again Friday again in another 6 months. But what I can say is public health is all, it's all ring fenced, it's statutory roles, and you can just Google it. That's what I did when I was a cabinet member, and there is a document that says this is what public health does. You also, as members of scrutiny, have a very detailed report at the last scrutiny meeting that tabled down exactly what scrutiny at public health does, what its outcomes were expected of it, so you already have that document. So if you want to Google, go back to your last agenda, that document is there for you to read. I believe you can swap back onto scrutiny, and I know you've read that if you have been part of the scrutiny 3 months ago. That document is there for you to read. In answer to your next question about Hampshire, Hampshire are here to run our statutory public health services to the best that we can ask. We are in a position that we've just had that amazing officer to show that how we share services, how we can improve. So we are on a journey at the moment, but on a journey to improvement. That's why it's really important that we have this document as it is now, so we can show in another 6 months how we have improved even further working with shared services with Hampshire.
Thank you, Claire. Any further questions?
Michael?
Sorry, thank you for that. I did actually go to the training, so I was quite as long as I actually did. I think what I was trying to get was now what is Hampshire putting into place, right? With that. I'll give you an example question, that's what you can hone there. On the sexual health contract, right, there seems to be a move to what's called a Hampshire model. I want to know, what the difference is from a Hampshire model or specification, because the office has spent nearly 12 months on an Isle-wide specification on sexual health. And now we're moving to a Hampshire model. What is the, what is the difference, right? What is the difference to the Hampshire model of doing things from the way that we've been doing them on the island? And I use sexual health as a specific example.
Thank you, Chair. If I may come and start with, I think there are 2 points that I want to make about. Clearly, I'm a little concerned because we're getting off the action plan. So this is about the action plan in place. I'm very happy to answer general questions on public health on that basis. And of course, we're very happy to brief on the Hampshire position if that's required. But Hampshire have completed some due diligence work for us in terms of what we need to do to revise, review, update our public health services and align them. And that work is still ongoing, and we are working very closely with Hampshire about what that long-term future direction looks like, and we'll report back to members when that is absolutely finalised and ready, but not before. I think the second point I was making, I'm not sure where the member draws a distinction between the Hampshire model and the other white model. There is a model for public health that we have to provide around social health services, and that's the model that we have to try and deliver. The challenge that we have, which we have experienced before through a commissioning model, it's quite often difficult to get island providers to provide these services because it is a commissioning model. And therefore, I'm worried that we talk about an island-wide model just because it had been provided, wasn't provided by an island-wide provider. That doesn't necessarily make it an island-wide model, it is still a public health model. So I think we have to be very careful about trying to draw those descriptors.
No, I'd just say that, and I'll echo that, I'd just say that in terms of the models of services, I mean, there isn't a Hampshire model. I mean, what we will be trying to do as leads of public health function here is make sure that the island wide has the highest quality services that we can possibly commission for the residents, and that they're all in line with current good practice and nice guidelines. and that's the work that we've been doing to make sure that, that that's the case. So I don't, obviously the, some of the operational elements may well be different, but in terms of quality and performance, the service we should expect is the highest standard, the same standard as we expect in Hampshire.
The obviously the public health is a statutory legal responsibility, and obviously the change to yourself, Sally, from the previous director, obviously had to be ratified by Public Health England, right? Has there been talks with Public Health England about your position now, and what is their determination on our services?
John.
Okay, Chair, with your indulgence, because I think we're off the main agenda item of the Public Health Action Plan, are you happy that I can tell
us? Yes, John.
Okay, thank you. So, before we entered into the interim arrangement with Hampshire, we had full consultations with Public Health England, and we are still in dialogue with Public Health England about the works that we progress with that particular arrangement.
Thank you. Right, Joanne.
Thank you. So I read through the action plan, and we know that Public Health is responsible for a number of commissioning activities, but it just concerns me a little about the lack of reference to engaging with people who use services. So there's some reference on item 3. And it would be great to see, the one with regards to stakeholder engagement is the one that's has not been met yet. That's still to be addressed. I just think it's really important that Public Health engages with people that use the services, particularly given the emphasis that, you know, within the NHS 10-year plan around engaging people who use the services. So we could see in further actions that that's embedded throughout all the commissioning activities, and then it would lead to a reduction in risk around recommissioning services, particularly given the lessons we can learn from, you know, what's happened in the past.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the not met is around we're still working through the commission services, and that's quite a long job as we know as we go out to tender. Certain stakeholder engagement, you're absolutely right, should be part of all the commissioning. Sometimes the amount that you can do, we have been a bit constrained by the time issues that happen to tender services, but you're absolutely right, I think it should be certainly in terms of development any strategies and action plans. That's absolutely right. And also just to say that we have partnership groups. So this, I suppose the challenge with this is that the thing is very much addressed to the things that are in the action plan. It isn't a sort of complete essay on everything that Public Health is doing. So there may well be some things missing it. So for example, we have the suicide prevention group, the multi-agency group, and has stakeholder and partnership. So you know, in that way, we are working with these stakeholders. It's not listed here, but I think that's the kind of thing that we can do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. It's just absolutely reminded me when he said he didn't know what public health do. On B413, there's a reference to the local care board. And that's a body that I don't know much about. I don't think they've been here, representation here. Are they going to be represented here? And will we find out who they are and what they do?
John.
We've got members of the board here, so I'll maybe let them answer that question, because I'm not on the board.
So, Chuck, that falls to me too, I guess, to answer. So, the local care body is a non-statutory body. It's made of a voluntary partnership effectively between CCMG, the Allied NHS Trust, the council, with representatives from the voluntary sector and from the GP Federation.
It's meant to meet to try and better coordinate how we can integrate our work better across health and health and care as a whole. It's been in place about 18 months now. It was set up and approved by the student cabinet. I forget when that decision was, really explicit terms of reference. There will be an opportunity for us to review those terms of reference in the light of some work that's currently going on. I can't really give you a timescale on that, but there will be that particular opportunity. But effectively, it's not a decision-making body, which I think is important for me to say. All of the sovereign bodies, the council, the CCG, and the NHS Trust, whenever we try and agree a way of working through the care board, we have to take that back to our sovereign bodies. So the cabinet would always get the ability to approve. The CCG board and the trust board would always get the ability to approve. So whilst you might not see anything coming forward from the care board, the work and decisions and consultations would need to come back through our formal decision-making processes where they're needed in order to be able to decide upon. We've not delegated any authority to that board.
John.
I have two questions. The first one is to do with the item 23. Public health needs to become a member of the physical activities steering group. Are you a member of the physical activities steering group? And if so, what do they actually do?
That's a work in progress. We are linking with people that are working there, but I think what we need to remember about this action plan update and about the peer review is that it's not all a one-way street. You know, there are responsibilities for other partners to work with public health, so I don't think everything on here is the responsibility of the public health team, and I understand that it's challenges there and actually getting into that group, but we are doing joint working with them. So the sort of work that we will be doing is thinking about how we can promote physical activity across the population, quite how we can use resources within the council to maximise engagement in physical activity. Because I'm sure you're aware that the most important thing we can do in terms of population impact is to actually shift our inactive and only slightly active population to being more fully active and at the right intensity. So we get a lot of focus often on the sports people, but actually in terms of population health, we need to be looking at the other end of the spectrum. So the team is working jointly with people, but I think actually being on the steering group, there's some challenges there, so we're still working.
And my second question, Chairman, if I may, is I don't know if it's the right time or not, but it's on the programme here, was item 13, which is to do with my life before life programme. And the learning from this programme is being used to determine the agenda for the local care board. I was actually went to My Life or Full Life for many months, listening to people telling me how wonderful it's going to be and how it's going to change everything, going to improve everything, and it's going to be the way forward. One of the questions I said to the meeting, well, it's not going to be like one of these programs where you write it all down, spend a fortune on staff, write all these paper ads, and then put it in a drawer and disappear. Well, I'm not sure whether this is what's happened, because it looks very much like the way it's happened, because these things have been changing. I thought it was going to go somewhere. I went to all the meetings and contributed with a lot of other people, and now they've just packed up, and I don't know whether it's going to go to somebody else look at it and what information they've actually got out of it, because it was quite interesting actually to look at what the people were saying, but it didn't seem to make a difference.
Thanks, John. I'm not quite sure what the question was,
my question was, we spent a lot of money, over a million pounds, on producing a programme.
What are the lessons from my life before life? So
where's it going to go and how's it going to benefit that sort of thing?
So we need to concentrate on otherwise we'll be able to Christmas in this meeting. That these questions are about the LGA peer review and where we are now, otherwise we can keep selecting different sentences from this and turn it about anything. But I'm quite happy to answer this question. My life before Fuller is about a model of care. So everything that goes into the local care board, that money is, if you see the diagram in the model of care of my month before my biz, everything is feeding off that work that was done with my month before. So please don't think that it was just a complete waste of money, because that model of care, that person-centered care, is something that you hear running through everything.
I'm sorry, Claire, but could I just ask what it is then? It's on this programme, on this item, it's here, written out here in something I thought we were discussing before, and it's there, and I'm asking questions about it, and you're saying we should be asking about those questions, so why not, why put them down on paper if they're not there for us to ask questions about it?
What I'm saying, John, is that we need to try and relate this to public health. Sally's here to answer this, is this document has come from the LGA peer review, and to look at the situation, where we are now in public health, what recommendations were and where we should be in 6 months. So my recommendation was that public health brings us back to this committee in 6 months' time, for example, so you see that more of those reds have turned to green. And my life full life is, it was a model of, what is about that, it's a model of care which is followed very closely by the local.
Oh, sorry, can I just say that maybe we should know in this document what we should be asking questions about?
Martin, do you want to come in? Yes, please. I mean, I can sense the frustration in terms of what is the LCB and what's happening with all this stuff. I'll actually try and address some of that in my update in item 10, because I think that will give you, hopefully give you some clarity, some definition of what's going to happen next around strategy.
Thank you very much for that, Martin. Brian.
It goes back to a comment that Sally made in respect to one of the questions by Michael. When you said, where we can commission on services. And when I hear where we can, then I start to ask, why can't we? What are you saying we can't do? Because you said, where we can commission. But what do you have?
Sorry. I can't remember the exact words.
And about services, and you said where we can commission. To me, it means, are you making a choice? Can you commission, or is there any reason why you can't commission certain services? Is it money, or is it they're not suitable?
Oh, okay, I see. Sorry. No, we're commissioning all the services that we, that public health is supposed to commission. I think maybe what I said was where we, that we, what we were trying to do as far as we possibly can is get, because I think I was asked about the Hampshire model, which I wouldn't say called the Hampshire model. I said it was a model of good practice, high quality care, meeting all the current NICE guidelines. And I think what I was saying is as far as we absolutely can, we're commissioning the same standard on the other side. There will be differences because of the local nuances and needs of the population. And of course, we always have to work on services within the budget. But in Hampshire, we've done a lot of work to transform our services because we've had to take money out because of the reduction in the public health grant. And so we'll be supporting the team from the Isle of Wight to do a similar thing to ensure that the public health budget is balanced. So we have quite a lot of experience of doing that across the services.
Okay, that clarifies the game.
Thank you, Charlie. Rodney, and then Michael, and then we'll move on.
Thank you, Chair. And I'll just sort of go back to the physical activity steering group. Now, there's sedentary lifestyles in this day and age. With the physical activity and the integration of it, how would it be proposed to get people taking part in physical activity? I'd also like to comment on on diets and things, if I may, because you're told one thing that's bad for you, and then you're told someone else is bad for you. So that confuses people. You've got to eat a peck of dirt before you die. That's my thing. And, you know, if people, and I've said this in the children's committee, was that this might not be relevant to this. People are not taught how to peel potato or cook a proper meal for themselves, a lot of people. And if they can't do that, it runs in tandem. If you've got a decent diet and the physical activity, that goes together, doesn't it? But if one's not right, it's not, it's out of kilter. That might sound a bit mad, but and not relevant to this meeting, so I apologise for that. I'll just try and make a point, that's all.
Thanks for your question, Roddy.
So, I think you made some good points. It's very, very, it's a real challenge for us about how we work with people to encourage them to take on healthier lifestyles. And you're absolutely right about healthy eating and physical activity. And some of the messages that you see, I think we'll probably talk about in the media, where there's quite often different scares about what we should eat and shouldn't eat. And that is true. And it's very difficult for the lay person to interpret some of that information. So I think what we can do with public health teams work with partners, which is why it's really important that we work across the council, across all the directors, to ensure that we're giving consistent messaging. I think the other thing that's really important is that, unfortunately, telling people doesn't work. I mean, if it's no. We have a very easy job. And actually getting people to change, working with people, supporting them to change their behaviour is really challenging. And one of the things is that actually you could only change your behaviour if you're ready to do so and if you have other things all lined up. So for some people, particularly people who live in areas of deprivation, it's actually really difficult because you just don't have the personal resources to make changes and choose to eat healthy food. So it's huge and complicated. But we use the best available evidence that we've got and we're, you know, to work around behaviour change across both of those areas. But some of it is I'm afraid, due to the way that our society is, and to do with national policy, which are things that are outside our sphere of control. Although I would say that one of the things we are, that I'm very keen to achieve, starts to is working more on the wider determinants of health. It's actually those things, your environment, your built environment, actually have more impact on your health than things, for example, like healthcare. So that's really important, but hard to change.
Okay. Thank you, Sally. Michael, then we'll move on.
Just following on the physical health, in other words, that I and Brian have been doing in another task at Finsbury, there seems to be an amount of money in previous years, I'm not sure this year, that has been commissioned internally to the leisure services for health outcomes. The figures seem to be from the auditor's accounts around about 400,000. But we've just been in a meeting with Alex Mins, the officer on leisure, who's actually said the figure is 250,000, which actually then gives particular outcomes. Can you let me know what is the policy of internally commissioning and externally commissioning for services, because obviously you've paid 250,000 for something, and I'd like to know what those outcomes you've actually paid for.
Well, I'm just going to say that actually those arrangements were put in place before I was in post, and it's a decision by the councillors and the cabinet
that
how that money was
used.
Okay,
I think.
Can I add a little bit more to that? So that particular decision about trying to sustain some leisure services as part of our public health agenda was probably first taken by full council about 2 years ago, and is built into our current best position, which is again approved by full council in February. So the part of the conversation that Councillor Lou describes is, so what are the benefits that we can describe to the public health outcomes that would not be delivered if we took further cuts, if you like, in terms of the services budget. It happens in a number of commission services across the council, and it might be subject to further reporting points in fact more difficult dealing with it at today's meeting and now.
I think you're right, John. I think a lot of these questions, particularly who's been commissioned, what your targets are, and what your outcomes are all items for reports in future meetings, if that's okay. Sally, can we discuss it in between?
Yeah, if
you
let me know what the committee would like to hear.
Yes, we'll do that. I know you're not long settled in, so. That would be good to get them on time. Also, perhaps some feedback on the learnings from the My Life, a Full Life programme, which has been quite benign, and maybe the report might show us that it's not quite so benign at all. George, did you want to say something?
Yeah, just a quick one on the page B6, item 21. We are talking about the funding contribution with planning. You say more formal arrangements for health impact assessment needs to be implemented for 106 monies. Could you expand on that? What needs to be done, and is there a time scale on that at all?
Sorry, you're referring to number
21? Number 21 on B6,
yeah. So I think that, and actually that's quite interesting that the responsibility for that is sitting with public health senior management team, because in fact that's a really good example of something where we need to get buy-in from across the council, because in some councils and not everywhere, the impact assessments for spending for policy making do actually include an impact on an assessment of the impact on health, which is different from an equality impact assessment. So that would be something that the team would be working with other members of the council on, as to how we can get that more embedded. And that would be part of the phase two work that I was talking about, because we have focused on commission services, and there's obviously rightly been a lot of questions about the quality of those, and that's been my focus for the first year that I've been here, to get that facility. And the reference to planning, yeah, absolutely, because that goes back to the point I just made about fertility and health meeting and obesity, that actually, if we can influence planning and build environment, that actually can have a really positive impact on people's physical activity and weight. So that's one we want to do that, really.
Right, thanks.
Right, thank you very much, Sally, for your input on that, Martin. And I think if we can have a regular running report, because obviously it helps us keep tabs on things.
So I think you said six months.
6 months, so yeah. We'll talk to you between Sally and give us something about it. So we now move on to item 5, which is early intervention. Can you give us an introduction to this?